mean, there are a couple of moments that that I think about pretty routinely when I get up in the morning. And so I'll just share a few of those and we'll see. I think, like, one, I got involved in education in part because my senior year in college, I took a class called Blacks in the Law with a professor named Fleming Norcott. He was the first Black Supreme Court Justice for the state of Connecticut. He used to come down to Yale to teach this class for a dollar, where he was basically recruiting future leaders who wanted to work for racial equity. That is what inspired me to teach. I applied to Teach for America. I preferenced rural Mississippi first and every other region last, in part because I wanted to go to a place where I knew that as someone who had a lot of math and science background, I would really, that there was a teacher shortage, first of all, and second, that like the civil rights movement was still actively happening. I was assigned to teach at a school in Greenville, Mississippi. It was like an amazing experience and met so many amazing teachers and students and learned so much about what it means to teach. And one of the things that informed our work at Leading Educators, like, I remember being a new teacher, my principal visited my classroom maybe three times the entire year, and they completed a checklist. Did you use the textbook? Did you use the transparency? Did you have kids ask, did you ask kids questions? And that was the extent of the entire feedback that I got, which we know is not enough for teachers to be excellent, and it's not enough for teachers to be able to support all the students in their classroom. And so, like, the way that I got better was sitting in the back of classrooms of master teachers, watching what they did, watching how they talked to kids, watching how they worked with parents, watching how they engaged their classrooms. And that's the work that we do at Leading Educators. It's all about creating the spaces for teachers to learn together, for us to really develop the leadership of the very best teachers in our country so that they can lead their peers to improve their practice. And that feels like really super essential work. And I'll give, like, one example that has, like, stuck with me for a long time. There's a student who I still stay in close contact with. I'm not going to use his name because I don't know if I had permission. But he was one of a few kids who qualified for the Stanford gifted program, educational program for gifted youth, based on, like, how high his scores were. And what was so exciting about that is he could actually earn college credit while he was in high school, being a student in rural Mississippi. And so that was my third year teaching. I actually went back home to Houston to teach, continue teaching the year after that. And I came back to go visit him. And one of the things that broke my heart was, like, he actually was in a classroom of a teacher who's kind of notorious for just sitting behind her desk and giving out worksheet after worksheet and not really teaching. And because that's the way that she had been taught, and that was the X level of expectation. But I remember the student came out of the classroom and was like, wait, how do you do this? I knew how to do this. How come I don't know how to do this anymore? Like, what's wrong with me? And he was, like, literally, like, knocking on his head. And all I could say to him, like, it's not you. Like, you're not being taught. The system is failing you. And so, like, that is a moment I think about a lot, because it's not about one person. It's actually about a system. It's about, how is that teacher being supported? How are teachers learning together? How do we raise the level of expectations for the entire system so that we're not failing kids?